In the future, I'm going to watch this called this way. Yeah, in future slides, you know. Yeah, so I moved it, so it's okay. We'll adjust. Okay, good morning. Apologize for my voice. I'm fighting a cold last week, but also fighting traffic last Wednesday. I couldn't make it to the midweek meeting. I was stuck on the ramp from I-75 to 696 for 2 hours. I was supposed to be here at 5:30, and by the time they let me go, it was like 7:30. So, by God's grace, I'm glad I'm back here safely. And looking at the road today, there are a lot of accidents. So, you know, we just have to be thankful that, you know, God provides safety. Well, you know, this week I was listening to the news, and they said that last Wednesday was the third year anniversary of the first case of coronavirus in this country. So it's been 3 years since the pandemic started, and you know, seems like a roller coaster ride since then, at least for me. A lot of emotions up and down, and you know, after going through that, I told myself, you know, something like this happens in the future, I want to be able to react better, right? I want to be having the peace of God so that anything that comes my life, you know, I'm able to go through that with God's peace. Because, you know, we have special resources. We have a relationship with God. And sometimes we don't use that relationship to our advantage. So one of my resolutions this year was to, you know, to enjoy the peace of God, not to get upset or get down. Obviously, that's an ideal situation, but I certainly want to make progress towards that. So the question today is, you know, what do I need to do to enjoy the peace of God throughout 2023? And I want to talk about four things. As usual, I like to outline it through a diagram. But the four things are making peace with God. So you can't enjoy God's peace if you don't have peace with God. That's fundamental. And then we are called to keep our mind stayed on God, and then we are to walk in obedience to God's word, and then we are to pursue peace with all. So that's my outline for today's message. And then we'll look at a situation in Paul's life that was life-threatening, and how he kept his peace, and what we can learn from that. So that's the high-level outline of my message today. So we can't have any peace of God unless we have peace with God. I'm speaking to the choir here. We understand that. We understand the gospel message. We are all enemies of God when we come into this world. But when we trust in the Lord Jesus and believe in Him for the forgiveness of our sins, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust everybody here has made peace with God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. I would go on to mention Colossians 1, verse 19 to 22. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. So, in God's eyes, I am holy, I am blameless, and above reproach, but that's not to say I'm sinless. You know, we would all agree that, you know, we are forgiven, but we are not sinless in this world, but we are making progress in our role of sanctification. So the first step is to have peace with God. And then the most important step is to keep your mind stayed on God. And I think that is key. Peace is a state of your mind. And we want to make sure that our mind is stayed on God. I'd like to share some verses regarding keeping our mind on God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 comes to mind. It's probably a verse that you have memorized or really kept close to your heart. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know, I like the word perfect peace. You know, it really qualifies to me the kind of peace we get when our mind is focused on God. And it, look at the word stayed. You know, it's not a one-time thing where you keep your mind and then the rest of the year you give up. I'd say, you know, we all have periods in our life where our mind is on the Lord, but sometimes we take our mind off the Lord and we get into trouble. You know, we have a physical illustration of that in the Gospels. If we turn to Matthew chapter 14, we see John, Peter rather, walking on water. And he did well until he took his eyes off the Lord. So Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to pick it up from verse 26 of Matthew 14. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?'" So Peter starts off well on his walk. He's looking straight at the Lord Jesus, and he's walking on water. And then he takes his eyes off the Lord Jesus, and he looks at the wind. And immediately he was afraid, and he was beginning to sink. And then his mind is all in a struggle when he says, "Lord, save me." And I think that can be said of our life. You know, when we are keeping our mind focused on the Lord, we are in the Word, we are coming to the chapel, spending time in prayer, you know, we have a peace that comes upon us. But then when we stop doing those things, you know, it's when worry and turmoil comes into our mind. And then, you know, when we talk about peace, obviously we go to Philippians chapter 4. Some of these verses you might have memorized, but the Lord says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." We are to have a continual state of joy. I will say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So there are things that Paul mentions for us, and the first thing is to have an attitude of joy. When Paul says the Lord is near, you know, people would interpret that two ways. Some would say, well, the Lord's coming is near, or more appropriately, I think it means Lord is with you. You know, whatever you go through, you have to realize that God is with you and He's close to you. And because of that, you know, we need not be anxious about anything. But he does give us two things to do. He says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. As we commit our worries to God, you know, we can overcome worry with peace, right? Worry with peace through prayer. You've probably heard of this saying, and I've heard it a lot of times, replace worry with prayer. Because that's how we overcome worry. But also with thanksgiving. You know, as we give thanks for what the Lord has done in our lives, we are reminded that God is with us. As I think about all the blessings and that God has given me throughout my life, it gives me courage to go through the next trial. And so these are practical steps, but we can enjoy the peace of God. And sometimes we have the peace of God that people around us cannot understand because we have a relationship with the God of this world. Our peace should be something that the people around us cannot understand. And I'm sure you have had that said of you. You have a peace in your life that people wonder. Everything is just in chaos around your life, but you maintain a level of peace. And it's because of the peace of God. And it says nobody can understand that. It transcends all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, nothing new here. We all know this. Hopefully it's a good reminder as we start this new year, to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. Now, the next thing is to walk in obedience to God's word. So we talked about first having peace with God, keeping your mind on God all the time through prayer, Bible reading, and fellowship. And then the third thing is to walk in obedience to God's word. I like this word from Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. So we talked about perfect peace, and now we talk about great peace. So nice adjectives describe the peace that we have. So it is loving the law, but also doing what the law says. So for us, we want to be focused on the word of God, but also do what it says, right? And that will give us peace. When we stray away from God's will, we get ourselves into trouble and it disturbs our peace. But if you love God's law, it says nothing can make them stumble. One of my goals is that nothing in 2023 that comes across my path would make me stumble. I want to have this even keel peace in my life. Obviously, that's ideal. I doubt that will happen. But I realize the more I submit to God's word and live according to his will, I can make that happen. Paul says as much in Philippians 4:19, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you, right? So we have all learned a lot. I think in the assemblies we have a lot of knowledge, right? We have learned doctrine about God, about salvation. We have learned about his will. But, are we putting that into practice? Sometimes we try to focus on things that are in-depth doctrine, but to me, I'd like to practice what I already know. And, there's a blessing with that, and that is that God of peace will be with you. And then Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Sometimes we don't have peace because of relationships with people around us. It could be because of our own fault or the fault of others. But Solomon says, when you do what God tells you, even your enemy will be at peace with you. So, our relationship with God affects our relationship with each other. And, maybe we're struggling with a relationship with those around us and we wonder, how can I make this change? I have no control of somebody else's behavior. But I can control my behavior. I can walk with the Lord. And there is a blessing to do that. God says, when you walk with the Lord, everybody around you will be at peace with you. Then we know that the fruit of the Spirit, one of that is peace. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So, as we walk in the Spirit of God, as we are led by the Spirit, every step of our life, we are led by God's Spirit, we can enjoy the peace of God. So, we've talked about making peace with God, keeping your mind stayed on God, but walking in obedience to God's word. And then finally, the Bible tells us that we are to pursue peace. You know, we are to work at peace in a sense. So for that, we go to Hebrews 12:14, where the writer of the Hebrews tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So there is some responsibility on our part. We are to seek peace with people. We can't agree with everybody, but we can seek peace with them. 1 Peter 3:10-11, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Again, you know, we would agree with what Peter says when he says we would love life and seek good days. Now, the term love life means not wanting a long life. Sometimes the Lord will cut short our life according to His sovereign will. The Lord Jesus lived only for 33 years, but the life that we want to live, it has to be the abundant life that God promised. We are to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from deceitful speech, but we are also to turn from evil and do good. We must seek peace and pursue it. James 3:18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So are you a peacemaker? Do we take the initiative to have peace with the people around us? So, you know, it's nothing particularly new to all of us. You know, these are verses that we know. But, you know, it's hopefully bringing everything together for you. And we can take lessons on how to live and enjoy the peace of God. So for the rest of this meeting, I want to talk about this being put into practice in the life of Paul. So could add some pictures and hopefully keeps your attention. But Paul went through a very life-threatening situation in Acts 27. This is his journey to Rome as a prisoner. And, you know, I think we can learn a lot about peace from this circumstance. So let's set the background for this. You know, this is, we could say, it's Paul's fourth missionary journey. He was in prison and, you know, he was sent to Rome. And so in Acts 27, we see him being taken to Rome through a ship, but you know, there's turmoil on the way. There was a storm, but you know, we can learn to enjoy peace in the storms of our life. So he started from Caesarea to Sidon to Myra. He touched on Cnidus. The idea was to go all the way to Rome, but because of the wind, he came down to Fair Havens, and then they were out to sea here. But, you know, verse 1 would tell us that Julius was a centurion who took control of Paul and all other prisoners, and they were set sail to Sidon from Caesarea. Remember, that's where he was with Felix, and he had this trial, and finally they said, you know, we'll send him to Rome. So they went from Sidon, and then they went all the way around Cyprus to Myra. There was a lot of wind, so all throughout the journey there was a lot of headwind that prevented them from making good speed. And from Myra they changed ship. There was an Egyptian ship that was going to Italy, and so they went on that ship, and with a lot of effort they came to Cnidus. And we see that in verse 7. And they wanted to continue westward, but the wind caused them to come down south to Fair Havens. By the way, the timing of this trip is 58 to 61 AD. Now, here is when things get interesting. So, when they were in Fair Havens, you know, the centurion who was in charge, you know, wanted to go to Phoenix. You know, it's just 40 miles, but Paul, you know, he was he had a bad feeling about this. He said, you know, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives. So we see that in verse 10. He told the centurion, you know, it's just 40 miles, but there's danger. You know, he was a man who was listened to God and he had this bad feeling. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. So, you know, instead of listening to God's man, they listened to expert advice. They listened to, you know, what the businessman said, that is the merchant. And they did this in a hurry. All these things are a recipe for disaster. And that's what happened. You know, they pulled anchor and they let loose and they started sailing. Initially, there was a gentle breeze. And so, you know, the centurion must have thought, you know what, my decision is right. I've made the right decision. We'll be in Phoenix in no time and we can rest there in the night before we go on to Rome. But immediately after that, weather changed and a northeaster wind, a strong wind, blew them out to sea. Now, you know, this caused a lot of pain to everybody in the ship. You know, we'll read later that, you know, they felt they were going to die. But there's a lesson for life on decision making. Sometimes we get ourselves into storms because of impatience. You know, this guy wanted to get to Phoenix as soon as possible. Instead of accepting Paul's message, you know, which is, you know, in a sense, God's message, they followed the majority. They followed expert advice. And they thought, you know what? If this sea looks good, let's just go forward. And I think this is a lesson for us. Sometimes we make decisions based on, you know, something that can be done quickly. We do things in a hurry and we don't consult God's word. We consult everybody else. We consult majority opinion. And we look at the situation and say, you know, this looks like a favorable situation. You know, it's going to be a peaceful situation. But that's when we get into trouble. You know, we are to always take the word of God and use that to guide our life. So things got really messy. You know, sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let the wind take control. They threw the cargo and the ship's gear overboard. They bound ropes around the hull to strengthen it, and the storm continued to rage, and the sailors lost hope. And, you know, days passed. They couldn't even see the sun or the stars. And, you know, they said, this is the end. We're all going to die. So Paul was in this situation. Right? He was a prisoner. And, you know, he was seeing all this. And remember, Paul was a man who, you know, we'd like to think was stayed on God. His mind was always on God. He enjoyed God's presence. And he was a man of prayer. And we see that that comes to the forefront here. Before we see what Paul does, we want to talk about Paul's mind. What was his state of mind? So we said four things are needed for enjoying God's peace. And the first thing was having peace with God. So there was a man in that ship who had peace with God. Paul did not grow up like that. When he grew up, you know, he was a Jew and he hated Christians. He wanted to kill Christians. But at the age of 30, he believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and he made peace with God. We read that in Acts chapter 9. So there's a man in the ship who had peace with God. But Paul's mind was on the Lord and his calling. You know, when God saved Paul, you know, he gave him some instructions for life. He told him, you know, you're going to suffer many things for me. And one of the things he told him was in Acts 22:21, when the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And then more specifically, when he was in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus appeared to him at night and he gave him this specific command. He says, take courage as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. So the Lord Jesus had given him this commitment that you are going to be a testimony for me in Rome. So his mind was always on God's calling. And he trusted in God's word and was willing to share with others who need it. And we also find that Paul maintained a peaceful disposition. You know, when he knew that this void was doomed, he could have really fought and told Centurion, you know what, you know, I'm not coming with you. I'm going to make trouble. I will not step foot on the ship. But he maintained his peace. He did not push his case with the Centurion, because later on, you know, God is going to use that to bring the Centurion around to his believing in the Lord Jesus. So, you know, I think this is something that we can take lessons from. You know, we all have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like Paul, you know, we have a charge. You know, we have gifts that God has given us. We have a specific calling. If I go through 2023 and my aim is just to get through 2023, you know, without any trouble, peaceful, you know, I don't think that is the right attitude. Our mind should be in fulfilling God's calling for us. We all have a purpose. But Paul not only had his mind on God and his calling, but he also trusted in God's word. So what happens? The next day, Paul calls the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not left Crete." Now, he's not really rubbing it in, but, you know, he makes the point. "But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.'" So, you know, he really did not need that reminder. He had the Lord Jesus' commitment that he is going to be in Rome. So if the ship breaks and everybody died, then the Lord's commitment will not come to pass. So he knew that, but he was praying and God sent an angel. Think about the assignment of this angel. You know, go down to Paul and, you know, tell him that, you know, he's going to live and everybody in the ship will not die, because I committed to you that you are going to go to Rome. So when we go through life and have our commitment, our mind on what God has purposed in our life, then I think we have a peace that that can't be taken away. If I know God has a purpose for me 5 years from now, I'm not sure, but, you know, I know that he's going to make it pass. I can trust that God will honor his word. And that's what Paul did. He knew that he was going to be at Rome, and so for sure he could say, you know, nobody in the ship is going to die. And he gives them courage. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that will happen just as he told me. So I like to focus on that phrase, "I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Now, I doubt God is going to appear to me in the form of send an angel to talk to me. But I have God's word. I have so many promises that I can take comfort in. And hopefully I can say what Paul said, "I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." So sometimes as we think about how our lives are going to continue and how they'll end, you know, I like the encouragement in Psalms, "As your days are, your strength will be." God promises that, you know, as long as I live, he'll give me the strength to go through life. And that's the promise that I can take to the bank. And so, you know, we may not have an angel speaking to us, but like Paul, we can say, "I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." So, you know, obviously the sailors, you know, were encouraged. On the 14th night, the sailors, you know, sensed land was near. And some sailors, you know, they thought we'll run away. And so they pretended to, you know, lower some anchors, but really they were trying to escape. And Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." And the centurion apparently listened to Paul, because the soldiers cut the rope to the lifeboat and let it drift away. So, you know, we see that the relationship between Paul and the centurion has changed. The centurion now is listening to what Paul said, you know, and so, you know, it came about because of Paul's peaceful disposition. And then, as the next day, Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, get something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish. He was an encouraging person. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. So, you know, that's interesting. You know, our lives are, in a sense, for God's glory. You know, our purpose in this world is to give glory to God. And Paul took the opportunity to do that. In front of everybody, he gave thanks to God. You know, sometimes God puts us through tough situations, and when people see us coming out of those tough situations, you know, they can acknowledge that it is God's doing that you or me came out that situation intact, right? So our purpose in this world is to glorify God. And sometimes the storms of life will bring out God's glory, not in the way we like to, through trial and sadness, but in spite of that, you know, God can still get the glory. And so everybody was encouraged. They lightened the ship and by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. So the mood in the ship improves. When morning dawned, you know, they recognized there was some land close by. It was Malta, but they didn't know where they were. So they cut off the anchors and lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed towards the shore. Hopefully the wind will take them closer. But they hit a shoal. A shoal is a low-lying rocks on the sea that you can see. And obviously, if you hit that, you know, your ship will break, and that's what happened. The ship started falling apart, and you know, obviously everybody jumped aboard. And in this situation, the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners. You know, because they didn't want to the prisoners to run away. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. You know, he didn't care about other prisoners, but he cared about Paul's life, and so he prevented the soldiers from doing that. So you can see how the relationship between centurion and Paul changed. And now, obviously, centurion is, you know, somewhat open to God. He may have become a believer, right? But he ordered you know, those who could jump, who could swim, to jump overboard first and get to land. So we see that they make it alive, but the ship is down. I mean, that's not a simple thing. That's a big loss. And sometimes, you know, when we go through life, you know, God will get us through. There might be some consequences, but God's promises always come to pass. And I like the way this chapter ends. You know, it says in verse 44, in this way, everyone reached land safely. You know, that is the end of the story. And I think the reason that it ends that way is because of what God promised to Paul, that everybody is going to be safe. And at the end of the passage, you know, it is written that everyone reached land safely. And it's just a reminder for us that, you know, we can take God's word to the bank. You know, we go through struggles in 2023, and, you know, there are times where, you know, we will lose our peace, but, you know, if we do these things, keep our mind on the Lord, do what He says, avoid bad habits. Those are things that can get us into trouble. So, you know, I'd just like to conclude with this question: where's our mind at? This is a statement that would, you know, be speaking to the choir here. Have we made peace with God by believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins? You know, you can't have God's peace in life if you are at any enmity with Him. So, if you have not made peace with God, the Lord Jesus died on the cross so that we can have peace with God. Do we have our mind on the Lord and His calling for our life? We want to be in the Word daily. We want to be in prayer. But as I mentioned earlier, we want to look at the big picture. We are here in this world for a number of years, but are we making progress to our race in this world? Paul said at the end of his life, "I've run my race." Yes, he completed his work. He went to Rome. He died a very cruel death, but whatever God called him to do, he completed that. And so we all have a unique calling. We have something that God has called us to do. He has given us spiritual gifts. And I think when we keep our mind focused on that, there is a blessing in that, because we realize if God's called me to do this, He's going to take care of me through the situation. And if God's called me to, do something 5 years from now, He's going to keep me alive. He's going to help me through all the struggles. He's going to provide for my needs. As we come into this year, we see the next trial somewhat happening. The economy, seems to be on shaky ground. Everybody is talking about a recession. So there will be one thing after another. But if we keep our mind on the fact that God has a purpose for us and He will fulfill that, we know He's going to provide for us. There may be struggles, there may be problems, but we can trust that God will fulfill His purpose for our lives. But, we are to obey God's will, right? If we know what God's will is, but we don't do it, we get ourselves into trouble. And then, are we seeking to maintain peace with everyone so that God can use us to harvest righteousness in others? So, this was the big finding for me as I did this study. As I went through the word peace in the Bible, there are several verses where peace is something that you have to go and seek. You have to make peace with others. And so, I certainly got a framework of what I needed to do to enjoy peace in this world. And I trust that you picked something also. So again, thank you for this time, and we'll just close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that we have so many blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important thing is that we have peace with God. And because of that, we can enjoy peace of God, and we can live in peace. Although we are learning this, we recognize that we want to keep our mind stayed on you. We want to spend time reading your word daily, spend time in prayer, spend time with God's people, and more importantly, we want to do what your word tells us. Help us, Lord, to live a life that is obedient to your will. Help us to recognize that there is blessing when we live for you. Help us, Lord, to have your purpose in our life, in our mind. We realize we are not here just to pass the days, but we have a will, a specific will that you have purpose for us, just like Paul had. Help us, Lord, to be about your work, your business, and let our mind be focused on that. And help us, Lord, to enjoy peace with others. I just pray that you would give us wisdom as to what that would mean. We just thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy great peace in this world when there is turmoil and chaos around us because of you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. As we go back home, we just ask that you protect us on the roads. We recognize that our life is fragile, and our life is in your hands. We just thank you for being with us, being our Heavenly Father. We trust in you, Lord. We know that your word is true, and we can take it to the bank. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
By His counsel, sky to hold you near Right.